Since its prominence in our homes, the television set has been a monument in the family living room. Sitting together on a rainy day or quiet evening in, we watch together, laugh together, and cry together when a fight for the remote gets out of hand and you end up digging out popcorn from between the cushions for months to come. As humans, storytelling has always been part of our culture, and we are simply built to pay attention and take in the themes and morals of a story when it's told. We covered a bit about storytelling in video in our last episode, so if that sounds interesting to you, I recommend you go back and check it out. And in keeping with the theme, I'd like to kick off this episode with a story of my own. If you'll indulge me, or if not, just skip forward about 3 minutes. In my youth, when I was backpacking through the foothills of Ibadaba... No, wait, not that one. So during my travels through Eastern Europe when I was younger, I found myself on a day trip to a small historic village in the Czech Republic called Český Krumlov. So this village is about 130k south of Prague in the Bohemian Forest foothills and was first mentioned in something like the 1250s, so pretty old. Built on a steady slope and split down the middle by a gently winding river with houses and shops backed all the way up to the water's edge. So while doing the tourist thing and lazily rafting through the village from top to bottom with some very large, very nice local beers in tow, I saw something strange on one of the buildings on the waterfront that caught my eye. A huge, colourful, but slightly wonkily painted kangaroo pointing enthusiastically and with the look of insanity in its eyes only a poorly painted kangaroo can have at the words Hostel Skippy in huge block letters on the side of the building. Now, for those of you not familiar with the peak of Australian television in the 1960s, Skippy the Bush Kangaroo was a very tame and shallow black and white afternoon TV series featuring a Roo Whisperer-esque boy and a puppet string visible kangaroo solving crimes and generally having minor adventures in the bush and scrub of regional Australia.
Will you try the starter now?
You'll go again, Skip.
Now, the show was no entertainment marvel by any stretch of the imagination, and as far as I know, enjoyed no great success or airtime outside the Greater United Kingdom and a bit in Ireland. So what the hell was Skippy doing on the side of a small Czech B&B in a little village near Pilsen? I had to find out. As our raft got to the bottom of the village, and with not much time left before the bus was heading back to Prague, I told my mates to wait at the bus for me and don't let it leave. They didn't, and it did. And sprinted up the hill in search of the titular bush kangaroo. As I arrived out of breath in the car park underneath the towering marsupial, I caught the owner coming out and asked her if she could tell me where the name of the inn came from. As it turns out, when the now inn owner was a child, this building was her family home. Her father was a radio repairman and had managed to come across a broken TV set, which he worked on in the garage of an evening to try and fix. Eventually, he managed to get it working and proudly hooked it up in the living room. It was the only television in this or any of the neighbouring villages, and it very quickly became an idol of technology and entertainment for all the children for miles around. Every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, the living room heaved with children of all ages in rapt attention before the tiny cathode screen, airing the only non-propaganda show that the Iron Curtain deemed disparate enough from the local world to not instill dangerous ideas into the minds of the watchers. You guessed it, Skippy the Bush Kangaroo.
33's Wallaby Bill.
33-1 Wallaby Bill.
And this experience of everyone crowding around the screen to gaze briefly into strange alien worlds outside of their scope of reality had such an impact that it inspired her to name her business after it. Since then, the humble television set has held a position of prominence in family living rooms across the globe. It's held firm through black and white to colour, cathode ray to flat screen, the weekly television guide to on-demand streaming entire seasons of your favourite show while locked away in COVID isolation. Yep, that was me after D-Mexico. Anyway, the evolution of television has brought us to the currently most used and fastest growing opportunity for advertisers. Connected TV.
Meine Lieben, es geht wieder weiter. Ich hoffe, ihr habt alle ausgeraucht, einen Kaffee getrunken.
CTV for short refers to any television that's connected to the internet and can access streaming services such as Netflix and Disney Plus, for example. And it's the preferred entertainment platform across Europe, with 80% of users now preferring it over linear or traditional TV. Now, this is a big change in a short time. Partially because it was going that way anyway, but also because everyone was stuck at home in 2020 watching telly in an unprecedented way, compressing several years of marketing evolution and innovation into a few short months. And it's super advertiser-friendly, with far more attention being paid to CTV ads than its linear ancestor.
Also eingehend wird uns Sarah, das ist die Sarah Lewis.
Back in Vienna, and the next speaker on the floor was none other than global director of CTV at Show Heroes, Sarah Lewis.
So I'm going to speak to you a bit about CTV today, but specifically about a study that Show Heroes recently undertook, looking at the CTV audience and behaviour.
But before we get into that, let's look at what actually the main differences are between CTV and the more traditional linear TV for both users and advertisers. The main and obvious difference for users is that with traditional TV, you have no real control over the content. You check the TV guide, switch it on, and you get what you get over a small handful of channels. This is opposed to the now commonplace CTV practice of selecting anything you care to watch at any time. Advertisers as well have less control using traditional TV. Really, all you can do is choose which channel you'd like to advertise on, which gives you a broad idea of demographics, the time your ad gets aired, and during which program. Actually, this reminds me, there were some rudimentary ways of measuring demographics more directly back then. When I was 9 years old or so, someone came and installed what I now know was a device for measuring demographics and engagement, but at the time it was just a weird little box that lived on top of the TV for a month or so. We were asked to manually enter the age of each of the viewers whenever the TV was turned on and regularly hit a I am still here button. It was a nice try, but you can see the limitations. My little brother and I thought it was really funny and made a point to religiously input viewer data every single time we watched the TV. And that month, in a small town in regional New South Wales, there were apparently an astounding number of 99-year-old grandmothers watching cartoons with alarming frequency. But I digress. As usual. So, with linear TV, it's not really possible to measure the engagement level of the viewer, as there's just no possibility for any feedback or interaction that can be usefully analysed. You just have to pay your money and send your ad out there hoping to gauge its success on following sales. This is money. If you're running simultaneous campaigns or have some other external factor influencing your sales at the same time your TV campaign is running, then it can skew the results, making the data for planning future campaigns pretty unreliable. Now, CTV targeting in and of itself is leaps and bounds ahead of traditional in its targeting ability, but it's of course not perfect. CTV is more often than not a shared experience, both in terms of multiple people watching something at the same time, or, more appropriately, multiple people with completely different tastes living under one roof and sharing the TV time. And that's where semantic TV targeting comes into play. We'll go into a special episode about this one. This is a kind of targeting that takes keywords associated with a user or group of users and actually attributes likely real-world meaning to those keywords and adjusts targets accordingly. You have a greater chance of not just engaging your audience, but also tracking how well you engage them and with which specific parts of your ad. More about this later. And finally, you just have way better data with which to more effectively plan and adjust your future campaigns, giving you the best chance for success. So we know CTV is better at engagement, or at least I've told you so, and due to its potential for contextual targeting, i.e. showing ads that are relevant to what you're watching, garners more willingness from viewers to actually watch ads. But how exactly can we even measure this?
So I'm going to speak to you a bit about CTV today, but specifically about a study that Show Heroes recently undertook, looking at the CTV audience and behaviour.
Traditionally, studies in Europe surrounding TV and the behaviours of its viewers have mainly relied on questionnaires and surveys.
Which is fine. You know, that's very, very important for us to understand the perception from the audience, the motivations behind them using the platform. However, what we really wanted to look at was unconscious behaviour.
The nature of questionnaires and surveys means that responders, without necessarily meaning to, will always be thinking consciously about their answers and introducing some biases through either misremembering or not being aware of something to not wanting to be judged by the answers that they give.
We very much wanted to look into not just what people think they're doing when they watch CTV, but how they actually are watching CTV. As human beings, we're not that great at understanding why we do things or how much impact certain things have on us. That's not on purpose. We simply don't always notice certain effects on us from different mediums.
The study that Sarah's talking about was done in collaboration with the independent market research company COG, who have been studying how people watch video content for around 10 years. But how on earth do you track unconscious thought or someone's attention without asking them about it after the fact?
So we wanted to actually look through the user's eyes to do this. We used Tobii eye tracking glasses. So these are glasses that obviously go on the user and can track exactly where the user's focus is.
So I, for one, had no idea that this was a thing. But what they did was get the watchers to put on these smart glasses, which would track the movement and focus of the eyes, allowing the researchers to see exactly where their gaze was and how long it remained on a certain place on the screen.
This red dot is basically where the user's focus spot was.
This is then coupled with dermal response tracking, something a bit like a lie detector test in the movies, in order to collect data from around 30 participants watching a variety of different video-based platforms. However, as I said, it's not just the attention they're looking at, but also the electrodermal response, which measures the actual brain state of the user.
So you have a few different brain states. You've got kind of low attention. You have engaged, of course, which is the perfect place for people to be remembering messages. Then you have overload.
So as Sarah says here, CTV is a very engaging platform based on the measurements taken of where people's attention is being held.
As you can see, 71% of the time viewers were in the engagement zone. That's extremely high. And we can see there's actually not very much difference between the CTV content and the CTV ads when it came to the engagement. So there's not like a huge drop off. We're only engaging with the content. No, that engagement carries through to the ad breaks.
And this is significant compared to linear TV, which came in at 34%, and social type platforms like Instagram and YouTube or TikTok were significantly lower.
The second part of this was then to go back with these users and actually have them watch their own footage and give their opinion on their own experience.
It was only after collecting all this information that the good old quantitative questionnaires and surveys were sent out, aiming to find out why. What drove the participants to download a particular CTV app? Why did they choose one over another? What came out of this and other studies like it was that we simply view CTV ads with much more attention than those on other platforms, and much more than we even realise. Most of the time, the CTV app is the first visited when sitting down to watch the telly, and when that's the case, it's very likely to remain on. And that's why CTV is quickly becoming the most interesting and most heavily invested in options for advertisers looking to engage with their audiences. But what do the studies show that the audiences actually want? Well, they want the convenience for sure. But something else is changing that's impacting the space right now, and that something has been coined subscription fatigue. When streaming TV on demand and its associated subscription model started to become popular, there were only a couple of providers. For me, it was only Netflix for a while, and that was great. Then Better Call Saul came out on the Australian service Stan, so I grabbed that as well. Prime had American Gods, which I'd just finished reading, awesome book by the way, and so I thought I'd just subscribe for a while to watch that. Final season of Game of Thrones, Foxtel, The Mandalorian, Disney Plus, House of Dragon on Sky, or WOW as it is here in Germany for some reason, and so it goes on. You can see the issue. People very quickly got used to the control they had over what they wanted to watch and when they wanted to watch it. But the rise in popularity, of course, saw a rise in competition, and with it, inevitable exclusivity rights and the need to have a ridiculous number of subscriptions if you want to watch everything that interests you. And so, the self-imposed weight of the subscription model is starting to tip the balance.
42% stated they were looking for value for money when we asked them their reason for watching CTV. Especially coming, you know, out of a pandemic, we're in a cost of living crisis. This is something that people are really starting to consciously be aware of. They don't want to compromise the amount of content that they watch, but they don't want to pay huge, you know, amounts of money in order to consume that amount of content now.
According to strategist.com, 51% of TV viewers said they didn't want to spend more than $20 a month, which is only about the cost of one subscription, or two at a stretch if you have some sort of discount. And so we, as an industry, started to look into other ways of creating a more palatable value exchange than that of the subscription model. One of these is the video monetization model known as AVOD, or Advertising Video on Demand. So basically, you don't pay for the service with money, but rather you pay with your time and attention watching various ads that crop up during, before or after your show.
I mean, people don't necessarily go home and say, hey, hun, do you want to watch some AVOD tonight? But they are, you know, actively choosing free services. There's very much a preference and an understanding from the user in CTV of the value exchange.
From the data, there are clear indications that exchanging commercials for content in this way is pretty agreeable to most people, with 57% saying they'd be open to lowering their subscription cost on a paid platform in exchange for watching an ad every other episode, and another 40% saying they would prefer ads tailored specifically to their interests, 67% preferring to see ads actually related to the content they're watching. So, let's take a step back a little and define some of the terms that you might come across in the industry. You ready? As we've already discussed, there's CTV, which is related to the actual devices we use to connect to streaming services. Then there's over-the-top, or OTT, which is the same idea but specifically refers to the services themselves. And CTV itself can be broken down into a myriad of acronymic headings. There's AVOD, which we've already talked about, but there's also BVOD, Broadcast Video On Demand. This is a subset of AVOD that is ad-supported, but the difference is that it comes from traditional broadcasters like NBC Universal, for example. FAST, F-A-S-T, stands for Free Ad-Supported Television, and this refers to streaming services that are free to the consumer but also ad-supported. They're often integrated into the hardware, like Samsung TV Plus, for example. And then we have SVOD, Subscription Video On Demand Services. These are the ones we were talking about. They're simply services that require a monthly subscription. Consumers and advertisers alike are cutting their linear TV cord at a record rate, and across Europe's five biggest markets, Germany, UK, France, Spain, and Italy, four out of five households can be reached by CTV, which is a 30% year-on-year increase. It provides marketers with targeting, engagement, and measurement capabilities that were only a dream in the days of linear TV and my little set-top box. It allows brands to more effectively plan and spend their ad budgets with a much higher probability of running more successful campaigns and driving better results for their bottom lines. Additionally, it allows advertisers to better control their ad frequencies across channels with more precision and relevance. With ad spending on CTV currently estimated to be at $18.9 billion and, as anticipated by Insider Intelligence, to increase to $38.83 billion by 2026, it is certainly here to stay, and if you want to take advantage of it, there's no time to lose. Thank you to Sarah Lewis as one of the keynote speakers at the Digital Distillery in Vienna. It's gone quickly, I know, and we have but one final speaker from the event for our next full episode, who, by the way, was my personal favourite from the event and turned everything on its head to talk about the hidden importance of analogue in media advertising. We're also working on more special episodes covering the topics of video for social media, as well as talking about the Digital Markets Act and, as I said, some more about CTV targeting. On top of all this, I'm really excited to announce that we have just launched a brand new show on the Digital Distillery Network. I'll be joined by sustainable development expert Araceli Armadi to talk all about digital media's impact on the environment and what we can do about it, called Green About Media. Stay tuned at thedigitaldistillery.com or search Green About Media where you usually get your podcasts. This episode was produced, hosted and engineered by me, Phil McDowell, with Nadia Koski as executive producer. The project's led by Dennis Kirshner and Stephanie Leonardi. You can get in touch with us by emailing the-digital-distillery.com or by using the contact form on the website. You could also email podcast@thedigitaldistillery.com. Links to the articles used are in the show notes, and we'll catch you next time on the Digital Distillery Podcast. See ya!